So the religious form that the Egyptians represent, being that sensuous level, it's all about upholding proprium or making proprium appear to be something that it's not. So it's the use of religion to maintain the sense of self that is born out of the love of self and love of the world. So, of course, with that form being captured in Pharaoh, that doesn't want exposure. So, you know, the interesting thing here, we're talking about what is hidden being revealed. So these are the levels that we're working with. So at that most external level, there's this covering that sits there. But we see as the word approaches, represented by Moses, carrying what is of Jehovah, which is a love for the salvation of the human race. So this is what's in flowing. And what this is doing is exposing in an incremental way, you know, through these 10 plagues, what the quality of what we take for ourselves is so that we will let it go. And that, of course, is the struggle. So in us, there are states which are centered around ourself at the center. They're centered around our self-concept. But there is a higher aspect which, when we allow that in, we know that there's a problem. So you have these two levels that are in tension. And this captures the spiritual life. So when we're in a state that is close to the Pharaoh level, when that is active and our sense of identification is tied in with that, anything that comes and asks us to look deeper is seen as an abomination, because it goes against the very form that that external is, so far as it not wanting things revealed. So the idea here about worship and sacrifice, this all has to do with self-examination and repentance, right? Even in the commonly understood aspect of sacrifice, it is to give something up in order for a fulfillment later. That's the idea that's sort of captured. And for that reason, it's not an easy thing to do. And particularly with this, because what we're being asked to give up is the very structures of thinking and the affections that are tied to it that have been seen to be okay up until the light of the word begins to shine on them. I think this is really beautifully captured in the bargaining that kind of comes out. You know, you've got Pharaoh saying, look, just sure, you know, let's get on with this. Let's just get rid of these flies and it's all good. But as soon as the relief comes, the hardness of heart comes back. Well, not that it comes back. It never went anywhere. It's revealed. The hardness of that state is revealed because proprium is never going to give up its dominance, you know, its perceived dominance at least, or control. But of course, you know, it can only be brought to heel through a process. And what that means in bringing it to heel or to have it cast into hell is to cast something into hell or have something cast into hell is to see it for what it is. If you truly see evil for what it is, if you truly see that from the word, it's judged. It's judged then and there and cast into hell or given its true assessment. That's what the judgment is. It is assessed and seen to be what it actually is. And so it's hell that's seen. And so that's what the casting into hell is about. The other thing that stands out, just in terms of worship, I've just been reading some material, a number in Divine Love and Wisdom, essentially talked there about to be in evil and falsity is to reject what is good and true. So you can flip that. To reject what is evil and false brings what is good and true. Like there's this kind of relationship between these opposites, that whichever opposite has ascendancy, the other has been cast off. So the work involves seeing what is evil and false and shunning evils as sins. That's what the work is about. What's happening on a deeper level is that a new, truly human form is being established, which, when this process reaches its fulfillment, that form then becomes the form that embodies your sense of self. But while we're at this level of life and dealing with predominantly what affects the sensuous level, then the work is always going to have this tension and struggle in it. But it's to the end that the Lord has set, which is the salvation of the human race, of course. That's what the Lord's love is. So all influx, all motivation, everything that flows from the Lord is looking to that end constantly. And everything is organized in a way whereby that end can be achieved. So this idea of what is hidden or having to give account, all of this is really the breakdown of our own self-delusions. It's not like you're going to be paraded in front of, you know, whoever. The problem is the self-delusion. That's the problem. So as the word is opened up as to its spiritual sense, so spiritual light is provided whereby what is opposed to the heavenly life can be seen. But that'll only occur if there is an aspect of self-compulsion on our part to engage with the text and to use it. And even if we feel we're not getting anything from it, that's not true. That's just an appearance. If you're sincerely engaging with the text, then the experience you have through that engagement is what you are being given. You mightn't understand it or be able to frame it necessarily at the time, but these things become abundantly clear down the track when work done suddenly starts to make sense. You know, not always, but more often than not, there are things that come into view that have been associated with a work with the text that was done months or even years ago. You know, like, so nothing that the Lord provides in our work with the word ever is wasted. It's all being organized down to the most minute level, because that's what love does in terms of its care for us, looking to that end, which is our liberation. You know, that's what these readings are all about.